It's the boss.
I call shots like a boss.
In the gloss.
Check my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
On the Sports Map Radio Network. Presented by Progressive Insurance. And by Free All Deep Penetrating Oil. Live from Radio Row in L.A., here's David Gal.
And Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my pocket.
Welcome back and broadcasting live from Radio Row. It has been David Gal, Carla Dawson, and Bob Golic. However, Bob Golic has just stepped away. He's misplaced his phone, and he's wandering the halls of Radio Row to find it.
Couldn't handle Gatorade and a phone at the same time. He's going back for the phone.
He's going back for the phone.
Well, we are stocked with Gatorade here, that's
but
for sure.
Really has been great to have Bob Golic join us. A guy with 14 years in the NFL, probably his best years were with the Browns. And it's so fun when he's here and athletes come by. They all know him. They remember him well, fondly. And they also remember some pretty tough battles down in the trenches.
They all played against him.
Well, 14 years, and he was played against a lot of these games.
New England, Cincinnati, and then LA Raiders.
And fun to think about Icky Woods.
Oh, my gosh.
Head-to-head against Bob Golic, as we just had last segment.
Yep.
Those two had played on the field. Golic claimed that he'd gotten the better of Icky in the collisions on the field. But I remember Icky Woods rolling over a lot of people.
Yeah, he did. You know, he was the rushing leader in their Super Bowl that they lost to the 49ers, 2016.
So
Woods was the rushing leader.
That was just an amazing game. I was at that Super Bowl. That was, of course.
Really?
Yes, it was in Miami, and it was the great game when
Super Bowl 23.
Joe Montana led his team down the field and completed the touchdown pass to John Taylor for the win.
That was it.
And it was an amazing game. Actually, from a fan's perspective, sitting in that stadium, the first half was pretty sluggish. It was sort of sloppy. There wasn't a whole lot of action and fireworks or monumental plays. And the 49ers, who were so good on offense, had all those weapons with Rice and Taylor under Bill Walsh's scheme and Joe Montana, of course.
Their offense, Clark, was he there at that time, too?
Yes, and their offense really was not that prolific that day. But when they needed it, down the stretch there, that
when
drive
the weapons,
was just amazing. And that Montana was putting the ball in just the right spots, methodically moving his team down the field. It was just an exceptional game.
Well, you know, I didn't want to tell Icky, but he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated in the Super Bowl preview issue that year. That SI curse is real.
SI curse.
Man.
All right, we're having a great time on Radio Row. We will be right back. This is the Boss and the Gloss on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Is the Boss
in the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network, presented by Progressive Insurance and by Free All Deep Penetrating Oil. Live from Radio Row in LA, here's David Gal
and Carla Dawson.
February is National Pesticide Safety Education Month, reminding you that safe pesticide use is no accident. Always read and follow the label to protect you and your surroundings. Remember, the label is the law. Find out more at PestSafetyMonth.com. All right, in just a minute, we're going to be joined by Jake Plummer. Remember Jake the Snake?
Yeah, 10 seasons in the NFL. I remember Jake the Snake.
I mean, the original Snake was, of course,
Kenny Stabler
and you Raider people.
Our Raider buddy.
I mean,
and the original Jake the Snake actually was a wrestler.
I did not know that.
Yes, Jake,
he, and he would come out with the big bag and had a snake inside, and he'd put it on top of the guy he was beating, and the snake was, like, drugged or sleepy or something, and it would just, like, lay there. I mean, it would have been better if it just, like choked him out or something, but, yeah, they were sleepy snakes.
He wrestled at Notre Dame, as if he didn't do enough. Playing football at Notre Dame isn't enough, so he might as well throw on the little suit and do some wrestling.
I had the little suit. Is that what they call it, the little suit?
What do they call
the
it?
The singlet.
Well, you're a woman.
Singlet.
You've looked at it that
singlet.
Way, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
I look at it as a very little suit.
A onesie.
A onesie.
Oh. Oh, God, I can't believe that came out of my mouth.
And you've done this.
And I've done this.
Yes.
Yeah, gosh.
You did it very well at Notre Dame, very successfully.
Yeah, I actually was invited to go to Colorado Springs to work out for the Olympics on the same year that I was getting drafted. So I had to decide, do I go and wrestle and, you know, hopefully represent the United States.
And make no money? And make
no money.
Or play the NFL. Cha-ching.
Exactly. And so my first year, my rookie season, my first year salary, I got a $50,000 bonus. And my first year salary was $49,500.
Whoa.
I know. Almost $100,000. Almost $100,000 my first year. Next year was only $60,000. But
times have changed.
I'm bitter.
I am
so bitter.
How can you not be? Jeez.
Because you talk to the older guys and they go, well, I signed for $16,000. No wonder they were still having jobs in the off season.
So this is Bob Golic, who's had 14-year career in the NFL.
Yeah.
And, of course, qualified for pensions, which are not that generous, I guess. And surely the salaries today are a whole lot better than they were in your day.
Yeah, well, the pension's okay. Like my dad used to, my dad's favorite saying, it's better than a sharp stick in the eye, Bobby. I'm like, why are we making that kind of comparison? But whatever.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, so, you know, every time they have a collective bargaining agreement, we kind of go, don't forget us. Don't forget us. And we're usually the last thing they remember. Usually they go, oh, that's right, pension.
Just get on that list.
Yeah.
That's important.
Well, think about Jake Plummer, who's about to step up here. He did have a 10-year career,
yeah,
which is a long career by any standard,
yep,
in the NFL. 6 years with Arizona, four years with Denver. And I remember him having some very big games. You know, it takes so much for everything to come together to have a standout year and to have a great career. I always felt like he had the talent, but not always the right pieces around him to get to ascend to the elite level.
Yeah, and that's what it comes down to. I mean, we've been bantering about Baker Mayfield, and any quarterback, that becomes part of it. You know, they may have the good credentials coming in and even look like a superstar, but the reality is that if they don't have the receivers, they don't have the protection.
That's right.
It's going to be different. Yeah, you'd like to see a quarterback who could make the game change by themselves.
Yeah, that's pretty exceptional.
But when that happens, usually there's somebody that throws and runs and eventually ends up on the sidelines injured.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, it was so interesting listening to Icky Woods when he was talking about Joe Burrow and how phenomenal he is. I really want to credit the Bengals organization, too, because you think about this past draft. Joe Burrow obviously needs an O-line. I mean, his knee was really wrecked. It was more than an ACL. And we saw in AFC game against the Titans, sacked 9 times. He still pulls it out. But he went to the organization and said, you got to get me Ja'Marr Chase. Like, he said, I'm telling you, I can make the rest of it work. Like, and they wanted an O-line. That was their need, and that's what the front office wanted. But I really
And a lot of the draft nicks were critiquing them for passing on a Penny Sewell or a Slater. There were some good O-linemen available there.
But look, that connection. And I think it really says a lot for the trust that's built within an organization. That they'll listen. Obviously, the front office is going to do ultimately what they want to do.
Yeah.
But to take the input from a quarterback, their franchise quarterback, their face of Cincinnati, and really do what he wanted. And it's paid huge dividends.
And, you know, the offensive linemen who get drafted early, too, I just saw Tony Boselli before, you know, the Lincoln Kennedys, you know, all these guys that are drafted early, they essentially, in the past anyway, have spent their whole career with that one team and shined. I mean, just really played well. I don't know that it's that way anymore, but, you know, that would have been an opportunity. But for Joe basically to know what he needs and for them to go get it, I mean, that's trusting.
And he made them look really smart with that pick.
Yep.
He did not make them look foolish.
Well, in a future segment, we're going to talk about the NFL honors, which is tonight. We're going to hear who's won the biggest awards of this past NFL season. And Ja'Marr Chase, to me, is the runaway offensive rookie of the year.
Oh, my goodness.
And there have been some good rookies on that offensive side of the ball. And by the way, those two linemen on which they passed, Slater and Sewell, had very good seasons and deserve recognition. But Ja'Marr Chase is just an exceptional receiver at this point in time.
Absolutely. And hopefully will be even more exceptional come Sunday.
On Sunday.
How you doing? Bob Golic. How you doing, man?
Bob, good to see you.
Jake, good to see you.
Joining us on set is Jake Plummer. He, of course, is quarterback for 10 years in the NFL. Jake, welcome to the set. You're on with David and Carla and, of course, Bob Golic.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show today. It's nice to be here.
God, you look like you're holding up well.
You do. Yeah, you look ageless. Darn.
Thank you for saying that. I decided about a year and a half ago to stop aging. I just decided it's over. I'm
done. You opted out of aging?
Yeah.
I want to opt out.
You just have to, you know, make your mind up and then make the changes necessary. And
I think I like that better than getting my knees changed like Icky told me to.
Don't talk about that old people stuff.
That's okay, though. It's nice that we've advanced to where you can get new parts.
You can get new parts, right.
I like the parts I got from the get-go.
Is Umbo going to help me do this?
Yeah, that's kind of been a part of this whole process. You know, I mean, one is to go through life and pursue passions. And you know, I tried to make it to the big game, the big Super Bowl, but we didn't quite do it. And when I retired, it went through becoming back to part of humanity and the normal lifestyle that you live once you're out of the limelight being a quarterback in the NFL. And then you go through the process of, adapting to normal life. And some of that can be really hard. And there's leftover remnants from the game of stress, mental stress, physical abuse. I've been thankful to have been raised by open-minded parents that have said, be sure you know what you're putting in your body. And also, you know, don't be so quick to put a white pill in your mouth when the doctor says this will help you, when there could be a plant that's been growing for millions of years that could help you. And so it's been fun to get exposed to some of that, whether that's CBD, cannabis, or other plant medicines that are out there, and even the fungal kingdom, the mushroom kingdom, which is a totally untapped revenue of, I think, health and wellness. And that's what, Umbo is about. Revenue, but like an avenue to go down to find. We're going to make money doing this, but we're going to fund research for other, you know, good modalities and plants that can help, you know, veterans with uncurable depression, PTSD, and the population in general, help them have a little more health and wellness.
Well, you know, we've heard a lot about the herbal stuff, but and the CBD and a lot of those things, but you said fungal. The last time I had to deal with that, it was because my shoes were wet.
Yeah.
And my feet were.
I think he's talking mushrooms.
Talking mushrooms. In layman's terms, what are you talking about? Where are you going with fungal research?
Well, I am a layman in this industry.
Okay.
I'm not a mycologist. There's people that can go out in the woods and identify and know the Latin names of all these mushrooms.
You know the word mycologist.
Yes.
Which puts you above me.
Jake just shot up to the food chain. When you say
mushrooms, most people have a couple connotations.
Like a psychedelic.
First they think psychedelics. No, I don't want to mess
Vision
with that.
Flesh,
and I give them a bar, they're like, I can't eat this right now. I got to go on an interview. I'm like, yeah, you can. It actually has cordyceps, lion's mane, turkey tail, shiitake, good stuff in it. Reishi, these are all long-standing, kingdom of fungus that have been around for since beginning of time.
From Eastern medicine, right?
Way even before humans were on Earth. You know, this is long-standing stuff. So I've just been exposed to it through some friends and connections, and I've lived it through the pandemic. I was taking tinctures. And I felt like it helped my immune system become impenetrable. Nothing was going to faze me. And just that thought alone can make you even more healthy, just because, like I said to you guys earlier, I decided to stop aging.
Yeah.
You look in the mirror and you go, God, I'm looking old. Well, you're going to look old. If you look in the mirror, you're like, damn, I look like I did when I was 20. Even if you don't, your mind goes, yeah, maybe. You're like, I'm trying fun stuff.
Just think where we'd be if Eve had eaten a shiitake mushroom
instead
of the whole apple thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're right. Like,
good.
Where would we have been?
Spoken like a true Catholic.
Thank you very much.
You know, there's a lot to learn. I'm here to learn, but I'm also here to help people think about a different way to approach their health and wellness. You know, if you're not feeling good, you're not sleeping good, you're depressed, you're anxiety-ridden, if life's just, like, too much, there's always something out there.
You just described the world right now.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I was going to say,
these last 2 years.
From a football player standpoint, we all walk away with the depression because we have the camaraderie is gone, all those things are gone. The ways of getting your frustrations out by going out and beating other people. But I mean, you're right. It truly is the world.
Yeah, a lot of people under a lot of stress. It's societal rules and norms that we've become just, that's how we're doing it because that's how we've been doing it. I'm not saying to go against the grain and be an anarchist or anything, but go think for yourself. Go find what helps you.
Do your research.
You know, I don't eat a lot of meat, very, very little, if any meat anymore. Why? Many reasons. One, I don't like that animals have to die for me to sustain life when there's plenty of plants. Well, the plants are intelligent too. Yeah, maybe they are, but they're inherent to us and who we are. Yeah, I mean, we're, they're meant to be eaten. We're not supposed to eat a ton of meat every day. And so, like, a lot of our health issues come from just choices we make.
That's why I only eat roadkill.
Yeah.
I mean, it's already
what a humanitarian.
Spoken like a true former Raider. Yeah, that's gross. All I can say.
I'm here with Marcus Capone, who is a Navy SEAL who went through some heavy stuff coming out of that, similar to what football players do, but real. Like, his life was at stake. Oh. And so he has turned to psychedelic-assisted therapies to change his entire life. Like, he was close to ending it, and now he is taking war vets down to other countries to get them also psychedelic-assisted therapy.
Salvia?
All sorts of stuff. Okay. I mean, there's so many plants that are illegal because some rich white dude said this is illegal. And now we can't take them, but they've been here forever. So I'm also, you know, a proponent of decriminalizing nature. I think if it's grown on Earth, God provided it for us in some way, if it can help you, that we should be allowed to explore that. And so we're going to help fund with Umbo. We're going to help fund Vets. It's Vet Solutions at his organization.
That's fantastic.
And really just do the research that's necessary so that this isn't just some party drug or something people are scared of, but, like, put some thought into this. And if you really want to feel better with intention, it's something to look into.
Jake Plummer. Thank you so much.
I wish we had a visual because he looks like he's 20.
He looks like he's gotten younger. He looks
like
he was
The gray will throw you off.
That's
all right. You know?
Well, thanks so much for coming on and sharing about this next chapter in your great life.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. It's just, you know, my path leading me here right now.
Look at that.
It's great to see you all, and it's fun to be here.
Great. Thanks so much,
man. Thank you.
Your Radio Row will be right back here. This is the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is The Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network, presented by Progressive Insurance and by Freeall Deep Penetrating Oil. Live from Radio Row in L.A., here's David Gal
and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, and it is a bit of breaking news. We are on Radio Row talking NFL and having a great time with a whole bunch of guests. Jake Plummer just stepped away.
Thank you.
Breaking news in the NBA, the trade has happened. James Harden will go to the 76ers. Ben Simmons will go to the Nets. Carly, you've got a long history with James Harden in Houston, Texas.
Let me just tell you this. Harden forced Houston to trade him in January of 2021.
Yes.
That's a year ago. Put on the fat suit, got himself out of there. Now he's forcing Brooklyn to trade him. And guess how many games he has played in this season and a half with Kyrie and KD? That would be 16. 1-6. Glad he gave it the good old college try. Good gosh. What is Daryl Morey smoking? What if you want to bring in a guy like that? I am sorry.
Of course, Daryl Morey is the connection here.
Yes,
Daryl Morey had him in Houston. Daryl Morey now running the 76ers, and he's brought Harden in. If Harden's healthy, to pair him with Joel Embiid creates a heck of a lineup. But that's a big question. Will he be healthy? Will he have his head right? He has been a malcontent. He's been unhappy in places.
He lasted 13 months in Brooklyn. 13 months.
But, you know, there's a lot of guys that want to, it's like they want to be in the right place or they won't participate or they won't contribute. I mean, we saw that with, we've been talking about OBJ, you know, what he did in Cleveland versus what he did with the Rams. You know, when LeBron said, I'm taking my talents to South Beach, and then he started recruiting his own team. And, you know, all of a sudden he went from being a great player to an unbelievable player.
He
got himself a championship.
The player-directed super team. There have been super teams in the past, for sure.
Yeah.
Celtics and Lakers of the old, but LeBron started the player-created super team.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons' side of this trade.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons last played an NBA game in June of 2021 and still went straight up for Harden in this deal.
Wow.
Well, so I'm reading it's not straight up, and we're all doing this real time.
Oh, good, good. Tell me.
So what I'm reading from Wojnarowski is that the Nets are trading Harden to the 76ers, and in return it will be Ben Simmons, Seth Curry.
Oh, Seth Curry is
going? Seth Curry is going, yeah.
Andre Drummond and two first-round picks. So Daryl Morey really wanted to get his hands on James Harden. You heard that. That's Simmons, Curry, Drummond, and two first-round picks.
Just took down the 76ers.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That's amazing. What a list.
I mean, that just put the Brooklyn Nets at the top of the East to me. I mean, oh my, because Seth Curry, he can play every game. He's vaccinated. So that's going to make up for the shooting that you would get from Kyrie, who's,
right.
you know,
yeah.
at this point, plays every other game or, you know, every game that's not at home.
Could
wow.
You, isn't it weird that you have to say something like that? He
yes.
can play every game because he's vaccinated.
Yes.
I mean, it just seems like a weird aside.
World.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, if I'm Daryl Morey, do I really want to send my embattled star into not only the Eastern Division, but my division? Like, I'm going to be playing against them. My teams are, I mean, that's a fascinating move between those two teams who are division rivals. I mean, this is their, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Two teams that would not naturally make a trade. I mean,
you don't like to see somebody come back and make you look bad.
Right.
Now, you want to be able to get rid of somebody and have them be okay, but not come back into your arena and make you look like you were stupid for letting them go.
Mm. You know what? And here, let me remind you, this is really scary. What the Nets gave up to get Harden. This is crazy. So January of 2021.
Trade with the Rockets.
Yep. When he was with the Rockets, put on his fat suit and, you know, was in Vegas with DaBaby while everyone else was in training camp, whatever he did. The Nets send Jarrett Allen, Taurean Prince to Cleveland. They send Caris LeVert, Rodion Skurić, 3 first-round picks, and 4 first-round swaps to Houston. All of that for Harden, who lasted 13 months, was on the court maybe half the time.
Right.
And now look what the 76ers just gave up again. Oh, my gosh. And, Bob, I was telling David at the break, look who Harden has played with.
Yeah.
And he still hasn't won the chip. He started with Durant and Westbrook in OKC. That didn't happen. They got there, but couldn't get it done. Comes to the Rockets, plays with Dwight Howard, doesn't work. Plays with Chris Paul, doesn't work. So he sends Chris Paul packing, which Harden does. Then they bring in Russell Westbrook, give up the farm for that. That doesn't work. He sends Westbrook packing. They couldn't get along together. He forces this trade to Brooklyn, where he's got KD and Kyrie, 2 of the best players in the entire NBA, for
yeah.
sure, if not the first top 2. Can't get it done. So now he's doing his little sad face, and I want to trade, and I'm really unhappy, and now he's going to 76ers. Come on, James Harden. Look in the mirror. It's on you.
Yeah, I mean, you're the one connection
the
in all these deals,
exactly.
The cog in the wheel. And, you know, we talked about that it's weird. I mean, we talked to Icky about, you know, we went to the Super Bowl, and you thought, hey, we're this good. Now we're going to come back and win more. And all of a sudden, you're gone. I did say about the Bell the college years, and I thought I was a sitcom star.
And
then
you were in my eyes, OG.
Yeah, but it got canceled, and then I couldn't get another job. So, you know, there's so much involved in winning and participating and getting things the way to go that you want. I guess you can manipulate to get things done and to do what you can. Like, I mean, LeBron, obviously, we talk about LeBron. LeBron did it successfully.
He did it successfully.
Yeah.
And, you know, the bottom line for James Harden, karma is a
bleep.
And it's coming to him.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Harden to the 76ers.
I'm telling you what. Wow. Okay.
Well, and we are at the NBA trading deadline, so there will be some fascinating developments here. I mean, I guess we still have a little bit of time, and
so,
we will.
Yeah, 3 p.m. Eastern time today.
Okay. So probably more trades to come, and we'll certainly report them as they take place.
There's been 2 that happen. Toronto sends veteran guard Goran Dragic to San Antonio. That's a great pickup for San Antonio. They've got a lot of talent, a lot of youth. No veterans. This is going to be great. And then a 4-way deal with Detroit, Sacramento, the Clippers, and Milwaukee, where Sacramento sends Marvin Bagley III to Detroit, and basically Milwaukee picks up Serge Ibaka and 2 second-round picks. That's a great trade. So, fun.
Well,
I
you
love like, this.
And you like the Spurs getting some veteran talent.
They need. I was at a game a week ago at AT&T Center in San Antonio. They played the Warriors' second string, all the reserves. And I said, man, DeJounte Murray just got added to the All-Star team. They need a veteran. These guys are super talented, but there's no veteran who's been there, done that, and can help them through it.
Well, they get one today at the deadline. We'll keep you posted on other developments. We are on Radio Row, broadcasting live, talking a lot of NFL, and having a great time. Bob Golic is with us. We're the Boss and the Gloss, Sports Map Radio. We'll be right back.
This is The Boss.
In the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network. Presented by Progressive Insurance and by Freeall Deep Penetrating Oil. Live from Radio Row in L.A., here's David Gal.
And Carla Dawson.
Okay, tonight is the NFL Honors, where they're going to give out all the awards for this past season. And it is interesting that there, some of the races are pretty close. Some of them, I think, are obvious. So let's get the obvious ones out of the way. When we look at Offensive Rookie of the Year, it just strikes me this is a slam dunk. There's that wide receiver who'll be playing in the Super Bowl, Ja'Marr Chase, yep. And he just strikes me as the clear winner. Some will give some consideration to Jalen Waddle, who had a very good offensive season as a rookie. But your picks, you guys go with Chase on this one?
Oh, easily. I mean, obviously, his performance was helped by Joe.
Sure.
And
it's a great partnership between those two.
That's what you always try to do when you're bringing in receivers and quarterbacks. You want there to be a relationship, and you know the ball always seemed to be at the right place, yep. And even the tough ones, you know, Chase would bring down. It was amazing.
He makes contested catches all day long. Right.
Yep.
Let's go to the Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Oh, that's a no-brainer.
This one seems a no-brainer as well. Micah Parsons of the Cowboys.
Yep.
Taking number 12 overall, and that's a great win for him. Perhaps the second alternative there, somebody might suggest or vote for Patrick Surtain, the cornerback who did very well for the Broncos and certainly deserves some consideration, having a very good rookie year. But Mike is the far away winner in this one.
Yeah, I think you're right.
MVP. Is Aaron Rodgers the guy? I know, given the sort of the prickly nature of Aaron Rodgers, it's sort of hard to vote for him. But he did have a great regular season.
Yeah. I think with all the stuff, all things aside, I think the off season with everything about, am I going to go? Am I going to stay? Am I going to do this?
The drama.
And then all the drama.
The drama.
And then he comes in and the season starts and he nails it. I mean, just nails it like.
Well, he started with a clunk.
Yeah,
week one. Oh, that's right. The beginning, right?
That?
Yeah,
terrible.
He looked like a guy who hadn't really worked out in the off season, but boy, he turned it around quickly.
And he turned it around, and just the way he played, and I don't know. You got a guy. He's out there. He's in the news. He's in the press. I mean, I give it to him. I know, but I still think if you're out there and you're not too negative, I mean. When you're talking about the vaccine, you know, there's enough people saying take it, don't take it. I think he appeals to a number of people.
No, he does. And, you know, with the vaccine, hey, it's a personal decision. What I didn't like about how he handled the vaccine is that he's going to that practice facility. There are people that work in the cafeteria there. There are trainers that are close to him, and they are all at risk. Because he's showing up acting like he really is back. So I don't appreciate, just be honest and say, hey, this is my way of vaccine, this is what I do. My other thing where I would not for Aaron Rodgers for MVP, I look at the bookend of his season. He started out with a clunker.
Yeah.
He ended with a clunker.
He did.
When you can only put up, you know, score that touchdown immediately against San Francisco, you know, and then the early first quarter till the end of that game against San Francisco, you score 3 points and you're Aaron Rodgers, that's not an MVP. I'm sorry.
Okay, let's go to Cooper Kupp then.
Cooper
Kupp, Tom Brady, you guys, Cooper Kupp's your next pick?
I'd like Cooper, yeah.
He would be mine too.
I mean, as much as I think a lot of people would want to say Tom because, you know, just
for
history and, you know, what he is.
It'd be a great way to end.
But Cooper is just incredible.
He's incredible. He is a major piece of why they are here this weekend playing on Sunday.
And for OBJ to come in and basically say he's the guy. I mean, you rarely hear OBJ saying he's the guy.
Right.
Usually it's I'm the guy.
And look how well that's worked
out. And look how well it's worked out. Absolutely.
I mean, wow. I agree with you, Bob.
Yeah.
I've got Cooper Kupp as my
Well, if he doesn't win the MVP, and he probably won't, Cooper Kupp can win
the offensive
player of the year.
Yes.
And there are other candidates who are pretty competitive. I mean, Debo Samuel might be in that short list.
Oh, my gosh, he's another one. That's true.
Yeah.
As an offensive player of the year, I think he deserves some consideration. Jonathan Taylor might get some consideration. Mm-hmm. He had a great season as well. We'll put Cooper Kupp at least as offensive player of the year.
Yeah.
You're okay with that pick?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, defensive player of the year. I'm going to throw out some names at you. Aaron Donald, certainly deserve some consideration.
TJ, hey, it's a defensive tackle, of course.
Yes, you like those DTs.
I like those DTs. We never get enough notoriety.
Usually, and of course, TJ Watt with the Steelers had another outstanding season.
What about
season.
Bosa?
And Bosa. Nick Bosa. So where are you going to go? Who do you like?
Bob, you get to go first.
I'm going with Darnold just because, well, I mean, I've seen all these guys play, and maybe because I worked in the inside, the way he controls things in there.
Yep.
And so he's productive. I mean, I played nose tackle 14 years, and I've got 22 and a half sacks, which is well over a sack a year. But, you know, he does it so well inside. I mean, he's making sacks. I mean, he's got numbers that the outside guys have.
Yep.
So I just love the way the guy plays.
Okay,
I hate to
with my fellow Raider guy, but I'm going to go against the other side of the ball because I have seen Nick Bosa get the better of Aaron Donald. I mean, statistically
okay.
I like him a little bit better. I do. I'm
going
to take him there. Because Aaron Donald, to me, he is such a star. He's had a quiet season this year for him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's picked up at the end for sure, but it's been pretty quiet for Aaron
Donald. Yeah.
San Francisco's had their number until this last game.
The one thing I'll note, now I think about Aaron Donald, and then now they've got Von Miller there on that defensive front. Yep. Leonard Floyd is a force to be reckoned with. That front seven of the Rams, very exceptional.
Oh.
When I think about the matchup this weekend, what's going to slow down, what is going to be the key lever for success? Who's going to win the game and why? It's the defensive front of the Rams that really stands out. That's the biggest positional strength, it seems to me, quarterbacks, sure. But that front group of the Rams might well dominate this game.
One of the keys we're going to have to see on that side, in that relationship, is Mixon.
Yes.
I totally agree.
Bengals need to run the ball.
If you don't get him going, Joe's going to be back there, and they're going to be able to, you know, the inside guys don't have to hunker down. They can spread out and just go and go after it. I mean, so he's got to be the guy that they've got to establish some kind of a run, and if they don't, there's going to be, I mean, it's going to be a tough day.
Because Jalen Ramsey's going to be all over Jamar Chase. That matchup's going to be tricky. But you are right. Joe Mixon is the linchpin there,
I think,
absolutely, for the Bengals.
I do look forward to that matchup. I mean, Jalen Ramsey and Jamar Chase.
And he's calling him out. He's like, I want on him.
Ramsey's calling for it. Now, it may not happen every play. They may not shadow him all over the field. But you have star power on star power with those two. Okay, let me go to another one. Comeback player of the year.
It was talked about here this morning. Do you remember? Somebody said, one of our guests, I think it was Mel Marinfro, said it should be Joe Burrow.
Well, he came back from that horrible knee injury, ACL and more, and then he's played at such a high level, ascending really to be a top five quarterback in the league after just one season in the league and after that injury.
Yeah.
So he certainly is worthy of the award. Other names in consideration, of course, Dak Prescott came back from that devastating injury that he had, but he did not play like Joe Burrow this year.
Right.
He started out, and then he got injured again, which kind of took him out of his rhythm for just a couple games. I can't remember what that injury was for. And then
he had
never
a strained
really
calf muscle.
That's what it was.
Never really was the same player this year. So we'll go with Joe Burrow there. That just seems like an obvious pick for comeback player of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Coach of the year.
That's
intriguing.
A no-brainer to me.
It's a no-brainer to you.
Well, it's got to be Zach Taylor. Regardless of what happens in the Super Bowl, because you look at Zach Taylor the last 3 years, 2-14, then 4-14, and now he's going to the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever heard of that. That's so crazy.
I think you're going to get the guy going to the Super Bowl is probably going to be, with the numbers that you just stated, I think he's going to be the guy, but I mean, you got to look at Vrabel. And what he's done in Tennessee,
right.
I mean, it's just, and plus, you know, I like to see former players who, you know, who do well. But, you know, he's up there.
Like
he's up
too,
there,
Bob.
Too. I mean, but again, it's tough.
I would be happy with that, too.
When the vote takes place, it usually has to do with the guy that's having the most success.
Right.
And if all things being equal, the guy in the Super Bowl is probably going to end up being the guy, and that points to Zach.
Or it could be, too, more of a, Vrabel has been building on season since he's been in Tennessee as the head coach. And so you expect Tennessee to be a contender, and you expected them to come out of the AFC. So maybe that's less exciting than Zach Taylor vaulting from two-win, four-win Super Bowl.
But you also look at Tennessee against the Bengals.
Yeah.
And, you know, was it nine sacks on Burr? I mean, it was an aggressive, well-played game.
Yes.
So you could look at that and try to make comparisons as far as coaches and their plans.
Absolutely.
And that. Yeah.
Who do you like, David?
I'll go with Vrabel. I think he's a great pick.
Yeah.
But I like Zach Taylor, too. I think they both are worthy of consideration and certainly the award. I like that group quite a bit.
Can't go wrong either way.
No.
The thing I was reflecting on is when you look at this list and you think about the Offensive Player of the Year and the Offensive Rookie of the Year, we're thinking about wide receivers, and that just shows how different the game is when you were playing, Bob.
Yeah.
We would have had running backs in those lists. I mean, Rookie of the Year seemingly always was a running back.
Yep.
Or it was an Offensive Player of the Year, same thing. Maybe a quarterback, but wide receiver, interesting. We've got Cooper Kupp as Offensive Player of the Year, and why not? And then we got Ja'Marr Chase as Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're right. I mean, it's a good point.
The game is different.
Yeah, it is, without a doubt. I mean, the focus, obviously, is different. You know, some teams still they need the running game. I mean, as we talked about Cincinnati, if they don't get Mixon going, then it's going to be a tough day. But even when I was talking about Cleveland, you know, we've got Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, and it wasn't until those guys and some tweaks on the offensive line that Baker really started to pick up. Of course, then there was injuries, and the problem with the running backs is they're getting hit every play by defensive players who are running a long way and going very fast. So they have attended, their life expectancy is a little bit different.
Yep.
So, but these guys, you can tell for the most part, these guys have been the ones that have caught the eyes of the fans and obviously the writers too.
So true.
All right, we're on Radio Row, and we are eating this up. Lots of great NFL content. We're going to come right back. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss with Bob Golic here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to The Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network. Presented by Progressive Insurance and by Freeall Deep Penetrating Oil. Live from Radio Row in L.A., here's David Gal
and Carla Dawson.
All right, the two of you are dancing again, so I know we're having fun on Radio Row. We've got Bob Golic joining the Boss and the Gloss. And one of the things about this matchup that's sort of interesting, the two coaches. And, Bob, you played Sean McVay, Zach Taylor. We were just talking about Taylor is a potential Coach of the Year candidate. He's done such a great job getting the Bengals to go so far so fast. Sean McVay has gotten all this acclaim to being the next great wunderkind coach of the league. Is coaching a big part of this outcome, or do you see it with the players on the field?
Now, by the outcome, you mean the Super Bowl.
Who's going to win this game, and is the coaches a big determinant, or is it more the players on the field?
Well, I mean, obviously, I think if you look at the big picture, I think first the players have to perform.
You've got to
execute the stuff. You get the ball from Joe Burrow to Ja'Marr Chase. But I've seen so many games where the first half a team is doing well, second half they fall apart.
It's all about adjustments,
and it's all those things that are. That you expect. So is one thing more important than another? You would think that the player's standpoint is more direct.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see the performance.
Yep.
But from a coaching standpoint, obviously it's theory and concept and getting the players. I mean, when I was with the Raiders, AFC Championship game in Buffalo, and at halftime we were losing 41-0.
And
we got talked to by the coaches inside trying to tell us what to do. We were all freezing because it was Buffalo and it was the summer. No, it was winter.
Exactly.
Yeah. And right before we went out, Marcus Allen stood up and said, listen, they scored 41 points in the first half. We can score 41 points in the second half. And we're all getting ready to cheer. And he literally said, can't we? And we went, what was that with a question mark? And we we're like, yay. Well, we held the Bills to 10 points in the second half. So okay. we only lost 51-3.
Oh goodness.
Dang.
Yeah, it was one of those. I'll take the drive and the fumble any day over that. But I mean, so I guess my point is the motivation, the adjustments, and the scheme right from the beginning are important. Obviously, you know, something simplistic. We talk about Mixon. If you don't go in there and establish a run game, it's going to be tough, or at least balance it a little bit early on to make them adjust.
And set up a play action with Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase.
Well, you know, this coaching matchup in Super Bowl 56 with McVay and Taylor is the youngest Super Bowl coaching matchup ever. McVay is 36, and Zach Taylor is my age, 38. So there we go.
Very nicely done there.
You'll be 39. I'm 39. Yeah, Jake's 20. Jake Plummer's 20.
Yeah, well, clearly.
Jake Plummer looks 20.
He really
does
did.
With all those fungus things he's taking.
I mean, run and start doing mushroom bars, umbos, or whatever they're called, umbos.
I'm afraid to eat this one while the show's still on.
You know, afraid of what you might say? This could be good.
Where'd Bob go? Bob. He's sitting right there.
Well, it's been great to be with you. We can now conclude the show and eat our umbos and get young.
And come back tomorrow. Bobby,
we will be back tomorrow.
I have got nothing else. I'm having so much fun with you guys. I mean, this is just fantastic, and it's a great show.
All right, we'll be back tomorrow. You've been listening to the Boston Gloss and Bob Golic on the Sports Map Radio Network.